Well, what happens when you pair up Woodstock's Marshall Karp and Newburgh native James Patterson to write a best-selling novel? Well, you get a book with incredible nonstop action, a Patterson trademark, of course, and great Karp characters, as well as very, very funny dialogue. The new book is NYPD Red 3, Protect the Rich, Serve the Famous, Hunt the Guilty. It's a great pleasure to have Marshall with us. He's an award-winning former advertising executive. He's a playwright, a screenwriter. He's written and produced numerous TV shows. Having paid his dues in Hollywood, he began killing the people he used to work with in his novels in the Lomax and Biggs series. And now he's had great success in writing these books with James Patterson, his fourth collaboration, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Marshall back to the program. We always love having you on the show.
Well, thank you for, I was going to say inviting me, but I actually invited myself, so thank you for turning me away.
I mean, not to put too much power into it, but I do have to say that it does come down to us, and you wrote us, let us know that it was out there, and we said, well, we'd love to have you back.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
It's just a matter of begging, and you did say I was in advertising, so I know how to grovel.
You
didn't introduce your other guest.
No, Kylie's here. Your yeah. Beautiful dog, Kylie, yeah. Who is usually on my lap at this point, but we haven't gotten to that. We haven't gotten to that segment yet.
I called first dibs.
Yeah, there you go. Great dog, and always good to see you too. So you know, I love the books. I love your writing. I love Lomax and Biggs. So when you started doing this, and you get these characters, it's an awful lot of fun to read. So my question is, it's one of the few that actually numbers itself, right? Like, not many books do that, where you have an NYPD Red 1 or an NYPD Red 2. It's usually, okay, this is the Alex Cross series, and we have 27 titles, or 87, or whatever number he's up to.
It's a good question, and I may have a dumb answer or a good answer, depending on how you look at it. I've been writing with Jim, or James Patterson, as we call him. I've been writing with Jim for a number of years, and he has a lot of titles coming out. And sometimes my thought was, you don't always know when something is a series. I came up with the title for NYPD Red. The first book could have been called Hollywood on the Hudson Homicides, you know, an NYPD Red adventure.
Yeah.
But everybody at the publisher and Jim, everybody liked the title NYPD Red so much that it just said, you know, buy me at the airport and take me on the airplane. So when NYPD Red 2 came out, I said, let's just keep the brand. And Jim was happy to do that, and everybody was happy to do that. And the first time I ran into, like, maybe that wasn't the smartest decision, although I'm going to stick with the decision, is I saw some people talking about it on Facebook. NYPD Red 3. Is this a trilogy? I have to clear that up. No, it's not a trilogy. It's a series. All the books are self-contained. The characters have an arc, so you meet them in the first book if you want to, and they get more interesting or less interesting or as we go along, but they have an arc. So I like branding the series.
So when you think of the arc, and obviously there's the arc within the novel itself, but is there also an arc going forward, and you're saying, as you're writing number three, saying, oh, it may be nice to plant this seed for 4, 5, and 6?
Yes. Actually, it's not so much planting a seed. It's like, I want to know what's going to happen. And, you know, as an author, I will call the murder mystery in Red 3 the A plot. And then the relationship, because the main character, Zach Jordan,
yep,
is an NYPD Red cop. And his partner that he just took on at the beginning of the first book is Kylie McDonald, and she is an ex-girlfriend. They had a really passionate thing going, but she left him for her drug-addicted boyfriend who got well. He got clean and sober. She married him, but the tension is still there. So now Zach has another girlfriend, and there is this entanglement. It's a little bit soap opera, and that's, quote, the B plot. But you would be amazed at how many people think of that as the plot. Oh, I love what's going on with those two women. And now her husband is off in, you know, on the dark side, that kind of thing.
Well, that's what I love to read about. I mean, I love reading that stuff. I mean, that's what you want to, like, that, you know, the story. Look, this is the genre, and you got the good people and the bad people, and you assume that in some way the bad people will be brought to justice, and but so the other stuff is like, it's fun how you get there, but you also want to hear what's going on with their lives.
Exactly. I don't miss the bad guys that I killed off in the first book or the bad guys that got arrested in the second book.
Absolutely.
I want to know what happens with Kylie and Zach. I want to know if Zach is who's torn between Kylie and Cheryl. You know, it's the human drama, the relationships. And it's funny, when my daughter read this book, NYPD Red 3, she got to the end of it. She said, well, you're done. You know, it seems like there's a happy ending. And I said, no, I'm just the book, without giving too much away, the relationships evolve. There's a big swing over, and it looks like it's coming back to where it was when it started. But by NYPD Red 4, and I'm in the middle of that now, things go all to hell.
Well, I was going to say, you could screw that up really quick.
Hey, oh, yeah, it's pretty easy. I can screw it up even when I'm not trying. Now you sound like Patterson.
As we know in life, things can boom. Yeah. I know we've talked about this before, and I know, you know, like anything, like, look, you don't want to speak bad about the boss. So I'm just curious, and so answer this question however you wish. But from start to finish, how much FaceTime is there actually, and not even FaceTime, but phone time, whatever, are you actually in communication with this guy?
Jim is on top of every aspect of this book. When I started all books, but when, you know, he has a collaboration, I think it's funny. I said to him recently, I said, you know, you have 16 books coming out this year. And he said, no, I can't have that. I said, well, I saw it on your website, and I'm thrilled to be one of the 16. A lot of them are children's books. There's one that he writes on his own, the Alex Cross book. He has a couple of series going. So people know he's not going to write all 16 books.
Right.
But he used to be creative director of J. Walter Thompson, a worldwide advertising agency. He puts a stamp on everything. Jerry Bruckheimer doesn't, you know, go to every shooting or necessarily sit in on every script, but his stamp is there. I had lunch with Jim back in August, and we talked about NYPD Red 3 and where it would go, and talked about the crimes. And then I had a few ideas that he liked and a few that he wanted me to come back at and do it again. I wrote another outline. I believe in writing with outlines. In fact, it's on my cheat sheet to you that you didn't read. I'm going to be talking to some writer. No, come on, Joe. I have a real interesting thing. No.
Most people don't write me cheat sheets.
Well, come on. I am very excited about the fact that I'm going to Greenhaven, which is a maximum security prison, to talk
on Monday.
On Monday. Nobody's invited. It's not one of these things where, you know, I can't sign anything.
You're going to be signing books in the prison.
But I don't know where I was, but it's like...
Well, we were talking about sitting down with Jim. You're sitting down having lunch, and you were going over the crimes, and then you were talking about the outlines.
Thank you. God, you're good at this.
Yeah, I try to listen.
It's like, no. I'm a big believer in outlines.
Yeah.
Especially in a murder mystery, because that's a jigsaw puzzle. You don't want to write yourself into a corner. But then Jim goes over the outline, and he says, okay, write it. And I send him 5-6 chapters at a time. We're in touch all the time. And what's sometimes surprising, when he calls me and says, this is really terrific. And I go, hello, who's this? You know, but we go back and forth. And then there are times when he says, no, I don't like what's happening with this character. This is getting boring. And the main thing he will say is, this is not my brand. This is not a James Patterson book. You know, we work together. You work for people here at the station whose name I won't.
Well, you know, Alan's at the head, and then we all do our thing.
And then you have meetings with what's right, what fits with the values, and I respect Jim's values. I respect his amazing ability to market, and so for the most part, it's like marriage. It's fun a lot of the times, and then sometimes it's less than fun, but it's an adventure, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I'm one of the luckier authors in the world. I can't begin to tell you how many people say, boy, would I like that exposure.
Now, here's the thing that I find interesting about it, is that it seems as if, because, as you say, 16 books, I mean, and that's just insane. I mean, that's insane. But, so you have all those books coming out, and it almost, for like booksellers, it almost gets to be a joke. Like, you can't keep track of everything. I mean, I defy you to find a person that could sit down, maybe even James Patterson, to sit down and say, okay, we'll name everything that the guy has his name on. But as you said, it's a brand. And what I find great for you and for the other writers is that, and I don't know if this is a big deal to you, but I think it's a big deal, which is, it says NYPD Red 3 on the book, and then James Patterson's name is on the top, and then yours is on the bottom, but it's the same, like, it's not in tiny, you don't have to take a magnifying glass out to find it. You're there first and foremost.
Yeah, it's a big deal to me. I mean, writing is always a bit of an ego trip. I've written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages that nobody will ever see. It's just personal stuff. But when I write and I want it out there, I like my name on there. And my picture's not in the back of the book.
No.
But people know that I collaborate with Jim. And some people who have... it's amazing how many readers I have gotten for the Lomax and Biggs series who were James Patterson fans and read that and said, you know, I saw something in this co-author that I didn't see in some of the others, and so I'm going to try his books.
Yeah.
And there's a number of co-authors who only write with Jim, and then there's some that do, Chris Grabenstein does children's books on his own. In fact, I just bought one for my grandson.
Yeah.
So it's great to see my name there, and you'd be amazed how many pictures wind up on Facebook from airports all over the world. When I'm talking about Hong Kong and, you know, everywhere,
yeah,
they just pop up with, there's your name.
And
it's cool.
You know, you were talking about the thing that you see maybe in reading a book that you collaborate with James Patterson on, that maybe another collaborator that you don't see with another collaborator. For me, it's the humor. For me, it's the crisp dialogue and the humor that comes out in the books. I don't know if that's from having read you and also knowing you from the other books, but it seems like that's what's fun to read for me.
It's who I am. It's what I write. And the jokes, the funny stuff is never, they're never jokes. They come from the character.
Yeah.
Once I started writing with Jim, I put the Lomax and Biggs series down after four books because there was no market for a fifth Lomax and Biggs book, and there was a really good opportunity to work with Jim. But of late, I have been getting a lot. You know, I just get constant email, when are you going to write another Lomax and Biggs? So about a year ago, I started. I have a publisher lined up. And in order to get back into it, I've just been listening to the audio of The Rabbit Factory. Which is the first one, which is humongous. It's 13 discs on audio, and it's 632 pages in print. And I was able to get back in the characters, and I wrote it 10 years ago, and I started to think, I like that guy who's writing that. I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And writing with Jim, I can't always be that off the wall, but there's a sense of self-control that I've learned working with him. So the humor is always going to be there. I've written some funny stuff that are going to be read at my funeral. I wish I could, you know, I wish I could be there. No.
Yeah.
It's
well,
just,
we'll tape
it's, it. It's who I am.
so then you get to do, so, all right, let's go back to all the, right. First of all, Marshall Karp is our guest. He is the, has co-authored the new NYPD Red 3 book with James Patterson. He wrote the book. And, so it's great to talk about that. But, when last we met, we got off talking about, outlines, but you were talking about going to the correctional facility, and you're doing this week. It's a maximum security prison, and you do that for what reason?
I do that because a year ago, it was January 2nd, 2014, the librarian at Greenhaven asked me if I would come to the prison, and she has a bunch of writers. She has a writer's club, guys who want to write books. They don't have internet access. They have some videotapes. They have radio. They have TV. But they want to know more about writing, and they don't get a lot of visitors who can help them. So at first she said they want to know how to get an agent. They want to know how to get published. And I said, well, then they got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
If they want to know how to write dialogue, if they want to know how to create characters. And so the process began. And let me tell you what's one of the first things I'm going to say to them when I get there. 15 months after this process started. Do you know how hard it is to get into this
yes.
prison? It took all that time for me to be vetted. But now I want to sit down with them, and it's the sheer joy of helping another human being.
Well, there is an easier way, but you just don't want to do it.
That's maximum security. You
yeah.
can't just get in there by, you know, spitting on the sidewalk.
Right.
This is not Singapore.
Right. But you're in there.
Right. And one of the things I'm going to say is what I say to every wannabe writer is that there are a million people out there who can prevent you from becoming a published author. And there's only one person who can stop you from being a writer.
Mm.
So write on, dudes. And I just want to encourage them. I want to help them. I want to give them feedback on their work. I want to inspire them. I want to give back because it's one of the things I can do. It's not very altruistic. It's not. It's just something that we all do something for somebody. And these guys called, and I answered the call. And it's an adventure for me. I can't take a camera in there and post it on Facebook. It's just something special. You know, if there are writers out there in your audience, and I guarantee you there are.
Sure.
That little thing I said about there's only one person stopping you from being a writer. And just keep writing. Don't think about publishing. Think about writing. And to me, it's the best job in the world.
So, if you want to meet Marshall and you want to hear him speak, well, you can't do it at the prison, but you can go to the Poughkeepsie Library on Monday, the 30th of March, at 11 o'clock, and they have a thing called Mystery Monday there.
And this is the 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary of Mystery Monday.
So right. I forgot what it was called.
Right? Yeah. 10th anniversary of Mystery Monday. And you're going to be there, and you're going to be talking about your work, and I assume signing books and all that good stuff.
I'm not selling books. I'm signing any books that anybody
people
brings.
People bring in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of logistics, even though dogs are not invited to libraries. Kylie will be there.
Oh, okay, all right. You got an invitation.
She has her own Facebook page. She gets more fan mail than I do, believe me.
So I assume the character in NYPD Red is named after the...
Kylie McDonald
yeah.
is named after my dog, and
yeah.
Zach Jordan is named after my grandson. And Joe Donahue, the character in Cut, Paste, Kill...
the doctor.
The shrink.
Yeah.
The you know, he was named after this guy Joe Donahue in Omaha. No.
I don't know why I'm fascinated about this, but like we don't have to worry about you, right? I mean, like you get a good there's good money in this?
I was going to ask you the same thing. How much is Alan paying you, Joe? And are you happy in your relationship with Kelly? Because you keep asking me all these personal questions. And
it's
none
of my damn business. None of my business. I'm just curious.
Look at how I'm dressed. Do I look well paid?
Well, I got to tell you, that's not a fair question, because I spend far too much time with authors, and there are very, very successful authors
who can
pull off the outfit you've got.
You want to know the real answer?
The real answer.
Okay, I'll tell you what Patterson says. I get way too much.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I'll tell you what my wife says. Keep writing, shut up, I'm cashing the checks. One of the things you can figure out is if I'm not writing a lot of Lomax and Biggs books, and I am writing books with James Patterson, one pays better than the other.
Well, sure.
It's my life is a delicate balance of art and commerce, Joe.
Well, isn't that what the modern writer is facing?
The smarter modern writer. I mean, it's not, what's that La Boheme or one of those? I'm not a starving artist living in a garret.
Yeah.
Boy, I never thought I would throw in an opera reference.
Yeah, it's nice, though.
Was
it's
that good?
Good?
Did it
very
work?
Good. Yeah. I like it. It's
okay.
Very good.
I should go off the air now while I'm ahead.
Did you ever think when you knew this guy, when you worked with this guy, that it would become the brand that it has? Do you understand that of what it is that not only sells his book, but even sells the books that you do with him?
I never realized that he would become like this, because there was an article about him in the Sunday Times about 5 years ago, how he went from one book a year to suddenly multiple books a year. That was a big fear in the publishing business. They were always afraid you'd water down the writer's name, which is why a lot of authors started to use pseudonyms.
Yeah.
And that's how you get all the Richard Stark novels. That was Donald Westlake, but they couldn't have two Donald Westlake books in a year, so they came out with Richard Stark. But when I was working with Jim, it was probably 1990, he gave me a 600-page manuscript called Along Came a Spider, and I took it home and I read it, and I said, you can quit your day job.
Yeah.
He was good.
Good
and
stuff.
And he knows how to move his brand, and he knows how to make readers happy. Readers love his books, and they love his books that I write with him, because I write to his brand.
I'm about to open up a huge can of worms when I only have a minute left in the show. But worms are us.
Go ahead, go for it.
About a year ago, 2 years ago, I was interviewing a popular fiction author. And that author on stage said to me, the next step sold millions of books. And that fiction author said to me, my goal is to become the next James Patterson. Is to become the next James Patterson, where that I am not just an author, that I am a brand. Now, 2 years later, that hasn't happened. What I found fascinating is that upon that declaration, there were people in the audience booing. Now, isn't that interesting?
Alfred Hitchcock was a brand. Steven Spielberg is a brand. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's,
No, but Stephen King is a brand too, but he's writing his own books.
Well, everybody has a different style. James is producing his own, and I'm not going to defend a success that a lot of, By the way, I got my first review for NYPD Red 3 on Amazon, and it was yesterday morning. It was 1 star. You know why? Because Amazon delivered it to my Kindle 4 days early, and it used up so many gigabytes instead of being on Wi-Fi. Everybody has a beef with somebody. So if you're
obviously your audience sucks.
I don't think being a brand, James is a brand, but he's also an author. He's a writer. You should read some of the stuff he's written all along the way. Out there in the
still
public,
does.
He's a speaker. He is a really good person. He's donating $1 million to bookstores.
Which
he's
is
donating
great.
$1.25 million to libraries. He supports children's literacy. He supports, books
and that's what a
in
brand
America.
Can do.
He's not the other author is probably saying, I want to be as rich as James Patterson. Not I want to have the power to influence of James Patterson.
All right. Well, we're out of time, but thank you very much for being.
No, this was so much fun. I wish we had more time.
It's NYPD Red 3. The book is published by Little Brown. My thanks to the whole crew. CarpKills.com if you want to find out more information. CarpKills.com.
Lots of free stuff to read.
Stay tuned for Brian Shields and Midday Magazine.
Brian Shields, go for it.